Welcome to the PWTorch.com free sample podcast featuring three clips from last week's East Coast audio shows. Included in this week's installment of East Coast audio with Travis and Bardre are reviews of the January 27th ECW TV, January 29th TNA Impact, and January 30th WWE SmackDown. Let's pick it up with a review of the January 27th ECW.
And this is the ECW wrap-up for the East Coast audio show. And it's brought to you by your homies, the East Coast Audio. Anyway, we got
smooth,
very smooth, not rich though. We got the homies more Marvin Canal, and we got Travis Bryant on the ones and twos. Say what's up, man.
What's happening, everybody?
Shout out to all the listeners. Keep the comments coming. Keep the rapport coming. We love y'all. Love the East Coast Audio family.
They're all right.
But I love y'all. Travis just thinks they're all right. I love y'all. But ECW, today was the 26th of January, if I'm not mistaken. We just passed the 26th, though, right?
Yeah, because the Rumble was on the 25th, that I remember.
Okay, my bad. So, 27th. Apologies.
Mm-hmm.
We opened the show. What were your thoughts on the show? Let's open it up. What were your thoughts on the show, and I'll give you mine. Let's start.
Let's see. How about... That's my overall thought on this show.
Well, the quote of genius that I once heard on our audio show say, "You liked it a little bit more than me." I really did not like this show at all, from top to bottom. I'm giving this show a solid, strong Brock Lesnar, Incredible Hulk D, and I'll get to why.
Yeah. I thought this was a stinker of a show, and it makes sense because if you think of wrestling, at least WWE wrestling, throughout the week as one show, if it's like a continuation, like momentum-wise, Monday ended so horribly that it was only right that for the next hour of TV is just trash. Hopefully on this 5-hour super show that I'm talking about, we can have a hot last 2 hours or at least an hour.
We'll see. Well, they opened the show with Teddy Long coming to the ring, the Matt Middleton, of course. Pretty much they showed video highlights from the Royal Rumble on Sunday, like as far as different matches. I think he showed clips of the JBL, Shawn Michaels match. He showed clips of the Orton Royal Rumble win. He showed clips of the Cena match. I mean, the Cena JBL match and the Matt Hardy turn. And I was, to be on a side note, I was looking forward to seeing Matt Hardy tonight. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, who wasn't?
And you know me. If I'm looking forward to seeing him, know what I'm saying? I knew it was gonna be a little twist because they had billed him versus Jack Swagger, as a rematch or something tonight. Didn't they do that? Weren't they saying that all week?
Yeah, it was the rematch.
Yeah.
No, the rematch was at the Rumble.
Oh, okay, wasn't he supposed to be facing Swagger or something tonight? Like, I could have sworn I seen the advertisement for that last night on Raw.
Oh, yeah. No, the ad on Raw was weird because they were treating him like a heel. I mean, like a baby. They were just
saying,
like,
what was the advertisement? What was it about?
It was just a generic Matt Hardy ad.
Ah, okay.
Matt Hardy tears it up on ECW's Tuesdays at da-da-da-da-da.
So that was the first letdown. That was the first blah letdown of the show, was he wasn't there. I cannot believe, and hell must be freezing over or something, because I cannot believe that I'm wanting to see Matt Hardy, but whatever. Oh, can I get props on calling that though? And new Bob Dole, thank you, brother, because you're the only person that gives me props. Thank you.
Yeah.
It was too obvious. It was just too obvious to me.
It wasn't completely like off because it was either one or two. You had a 50-50 kind of shot.
Yeah, yeah.
And knowing how many people must assumed, and the fact that the crowd was saying we weren't Christian, you know, during the match, tells you that they probably were like, they just did the whole.
It wasn't always 50-50, though. Remember, we even threw Rikishi's name in there, so you gotta remember, it wasn't always.
Oh, yeah, Rikishi did have, it was 49% won and, 49% or something, 49-2 and 49. Whatever.
Independent was Rikishi, pretty much. But,
wanted to say was the announcement that Matt wasn't showing up and that he was asked for his release to go to SmackDown was just, I don't know, that couldn't have been handled any better than that. That couldn't have been made some kind of deal. Major announcement.
Yeah, it should have been a deal.
About top talent coming up. That he has this, you know, whatever, something. He just comes out, dances, cuts this, you know, promo. Hardy's gone, and he's going to SmackDown. No trade, no nothing. You're just going to release him and let him go to SmackDown? He got drafted to ECW.
That was a sample from the January 27th ECW TV review. Now let's go and pick it up with the January 29th TNA Impact featuring the Main Event Mafia Takeover. And following is a clip of the beginning of the East Coast Audio reviewing that episode of TV. Well, let's give it a listen.
Welcome, everybody, to the East Coast Audio. Black Snow and Chet Lemon. Black Lemon and Chet Snow.
East Coast Audio here with an Impact recap. I'm Travis Bryan, actually, and I'm here with Bardre Purnell, and we are here to bring you the January 29, 2009 edition of TNA Impact on Spike Television. What's happening, Dre? What's happening, Dre Lemon?
What's up, everybody? What's going on, Black? What's the deal?
Right?
Shit, no. Black Lemons.
So, Impact.
What's up?
Huh?
I said good stuff, I said, for a change.
I mean, actually, you know, some fun stuff that was meant to be funny.
Something that was meant to be funny was actually funny, yeah, that's exactly sums it up.
So, definite hit. Maybe Buck Over did a little bit with that voice. You know, he would break out of it, you know, every now and then, but when he would really get rolling, you know, it kind of got kind of annoying, but that might have been the point.
The one thing about the night that I could say about Booker that annoyed me, well, not annoyed me, but I could say was wrong, because he was classic tonight. When he was doing the announcing, he was on such a roll that it was hard for Lemon to get a word in edgewise.
Yeah, Chet Lemon he was limited to one-liners that weren't very creative, you know, a lot of blatant sexual, you know, jokes and, you know, things, just pretty much that. I mean, I guess they were funny, you know, like, you know, kind of like in the heard that a million times before kind of way. But yeah, you know, his timing was fine and, you know, it was probably his lines. He seems like a guy that would really want to have to be able to do that himself, or at least control a lot of it. But
I think they all had. I don't think nobody on this show got anything written for them, really.
Scott Steiner was probably the absolute worst. And his shit practices, I'm really seriously contemplating emailing Spike or something and asking them, or TNA, what are the censor guidelines, I guess.
And it's really stupid. I really think especially the way it went tonight, it seems like you can use a word, but not, it depends on the context that you use it, and that's when they bleep it.
No, it's not even that.
Remember when Scott Steiner said at the when he did the knockout match, the Khan Faraj versus
right.
ODB.
He was like, it's four bitches versus one, and they blanked that out.
But why would they blank out one dirty bitch though? Why wouldn't they blank that?
I don't know.
So that's what I'm trying to say. Like maybe
why,
that's
because it. That's her name.
I mean, what else reason could you come up with? I mean, give me another reason.
When she said her name before.
Yeah, but bitch is bitch. Bitch is bitch, right?
Right. Either way, whatever. There's no way you're going to convince me that they are actually consistent and there's some kind of method to this clear badness. I mean, you can't literally go from 1 second being able to say ass, and then literally 10 minutes later, a video package will air, and in the video package something might be said, but then on supposed live on air, when somebody's cutting their promo in the ring, they get something blanked out, or vice versa, or whatever, and it's just. It's distracting because it's so obvious. But anyway, what did you think of the show? I mean, we started getting into it.
Like I said, the first hour and 10 minutes were the most entertaining. But then, first hour and 10 minutes was very entertaining. I liked that the most. I didn't like the second half too much. The main event wasn't that bad to me. As bad as I thought it would be. I actually didn't mind it at all. I actually borderline liked it. With those two factors, you know, there was a lot of wrestling in this, and a couple matches that were horrible, and just, matter of fact, all the rest of the matches besides the main event, in my opinion, I could have done without.
But the Steiner-Biss match wasn't good. It was terrible.
It wasn't good on a show, but it was all terrible matches. And last but not least, Chet and Black saved the show for me. If they were on the show the whole night, or if it was an angle like that, this show probably would have got a strong B.
I'm actually glad they didn't do the whole show, because I thought they got out of there right in time. Because when it goes, it's not. But I thought they got out of there in time. Even if they peaked, I mean, get out of there while you're. So we remember it so strongly because none of it was ever bad. You know, they stayed on there for 20 more minutes, 30 more minutes. You know, it was just a chance of, you know, kind of bringing the whole thing down.
That was a discussion of the January 29th TNA Impact. Let's now pick it up with a review of the January 30th SmackDown, which featured the Matt Hardy post-Royal Rumble promo explaining his attack on Jeff Hardy at the Rumble. And let's go ahead and check this out from Travis and Bardre.
East Coast Audio back at you with a SmackDown recap for the SmackDown airing. When did this air? January 30th, 2009. It is today, the 31st. We're a day behind with you. But we're here to bring you that SmackDown recap. I'm Travis Bryant here with Bardre Purnell. Dre, what's going on?
Chilling, everybody. What's everybody doing? Thanks, everybody, for giving us love on the forum. And y'all coming out the woodwork, baby. Early. Last week it was two. Now it's two, three and a half, three and three quarters, but it's all good.
So, what's happening? How'd you like the show?
So it wasn't bad. I mean, it wasn't great, in my opinion. And before we got on, so we had a big disagreement, but whatever. Show wasn't bad. Okay. I'm not gonna go on a rant on how horrible it was, because it wasn't. I liked the matches. Well, three of them I liked. You know, a couple of them we could have done without. I liked Umaga's, even though he trashed Jimmy Wang Yang. I like him returning. Can't wait to see what he gets into, you know, and you, of course you knew he was going to squash him anyway. Got some new tattoos, got some new music going on. But let's get down to it. Let me give the show a solid C. Nothing major, nothing spectacular. Going back to the safe zone. I'll at you. Let's go.
That's definitely, show was okay. Highlight of the show for me was the beginning, which, obviously for you, I wasn't. The matches were nothing special. None of them were. Undertaker and Mark Henry, I paid absolutely no attention to. It was just stand up. Yeah, I mean, yeah. The triple threat main event was completely. It was a fine match, but that blown pedigree, so to speak, if that's what you want to call it. He just couldn't keep his balance. So that kind of ruined things for me there, but again, the show was carried, in my idea, by a money promo from a newly turned heel Matt Hardy. We might as well jump into it.
All right, let's do it. Let's jump into it. Thank you going along with everybody else and saying this is
promo. I stayed completely away from that Matt Hardy promo.
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, even regardless
of along with everybody.
You are no. What I mean is, you got that Mark sensor about you that. I don't see why everybody likes this promo. I really
maybe
don't, really
maybe something's wrong with you.
Yeah,
because
maybe.
You got this deep burning hatred for Matthew J. Hardy.
That is true. Matthew,
you know, so, I mean, I don't know how, of all people, I was like, all right, this is probably going to be what gets him Trey on his bandwagon again.
It
was better than any promo he gave as version one Matt Hardy, I'll tell you that.
This was a money-making promo.
This was everything about this promo. All right, well, we might as well start off. The show opened with highlights from the Jeff Edge match from the Rumble and the Matt Hardy turn. Then Matt Hardy was intro, no music. He came out for a promo. He basically, basically he was sick of covering for and carrying his irresponsible, self-destructive younger brother. And he did everything for the fans. He blamed the fans too. For accepting him and for cheering his self-destructive ways. You know, I did everything I could. I signed autographs, took pictures, everything I can do to make y'all happy. And y'all, what do y'all do? Y'all cheer, you know, y'all want to cheer for the irresponsible one, the one, you know, that I've been carrying pretty much for all our, I guess, adult lives. It probably goes back to when they was kids. Jeff. Doing something stupid, you know, hurting himself, and then got carried back.
Matt told him not to start peroxy weeding because he'd lose money, and he did anyway. So I'm on and on.
Keeps going. So there was a lot of elements of truth in this promo.
I am going to cut you off. Let me let you finish, and then I'll tell you what no, don't get me wrong. Before you do finish, I didn't say this. I don't want you to put over that it was a bad promo. The way you saying it was a money, it was... What I'm saying was it wasn't a money promo. It was an okay promo. It wasn't great. It wasn't money, in my opinion. I don't want you to think, new Bob Doe or somebody thinking it was bad, but, you know, because he ain't got no TV, so, he's going to be all confused.
Where did that come from? I didn't get that. I'm like, who said he didn't have a TV?
When he always posts a thread, he always says, I always listen to y'all, so-and-so, and I haven't really been able to catch up with these things because I don't have free cable anymore. So that's I'm putting this business out there and saying, yeah, I know he's bad, but it's all good, though. But, finish what you were saying, and then I'll tell you why.
I thought the only thing that really brought the promo down was that cheesy music. I thought the video clips in between were fine, and the fact that he was sitting down in the ring, I thought he had a lot of good heat. The crowd, the video package really set it off, As soon as he came out, it wasn't even a mixed reaction a little bit. It was just all, mega heat. And I was waiting for him to say, excuse me. But
yeah, right.
and the promo was just on point. It was on point. The tone was right. The material was right. And his delivery was the best I've seen Matt Hardy ever.
Is that saying much? Let me just tell you why. Number one, you kind of pretty much knew what Matt Hardy was going to say. Being Matt Hardy, the doofus that doesn't have any, of course we have people writing for you, and you have people, but you knew it was going to come out as enough. You knew that it was going to be some underlining jealousy about Jeff. You knew that he was going to say about, the spotlight, he don't have to share it with him no more. You knew this before he was going to say it. The thing that pissed me off, and what I'm surprised didn't piss you off, after weeks and weeks of not liking Jeff Hardy's personal life being brought on to the tape, they're still, maybe not in a direct or bold way, they're still talking about, we still can't get past the fact that Jeff's a fucking screw-up. And life. Before when they were in the indie circuit wrestling, in the Briscoe family dungeon wrestling whoever in Cameron, North Carolina, wherever they were, he's been a burden on Matt all his life. Just like he's been a burden on everyone. Just like he's a burden on his girlfriend for crashing. And another thing, I was hoping, another thing that I'll wait to see how this progresses. I was hoping that Matt would have been like, man, I'm bringing that nigga off the fucking side of the road. That's what I was like. I was waiting for him to say, but I guess that's going to be.
Oh, he was just saying nobody can prove. I mean, I guess that still leaves the door open for Christian. I liked it all the way through and through. And the fact that he carried 9 minutes of television. Yeah, and it was entertaining, and I was into every word. It felt like I was watching not as good, but a good Chris Jericho promo for the past year. Just real calm, got everything out there, but was still a complete heel, and, had that about him, he believed everything he was saying as the gospel, even though it's grossly exaggerated. Oh, and actually with this, it's not so grossly exaggerated. That's actually kind of makes him, that bigger of a heel, because it's like, come on, man, you got all this ammo. It's worse when somebody, close to you, does something. They take all that stuff they know. He told Jeff, I know you're watching. He said, I no longer consider the Hardy, you're my partner, and no more Hardy Boys, and you're not even, I don't have a brother. And then the crowd chanted, we want Jeff. And the look of his on his face was like, see, that's what I'm talking about. I just told y'all. I just sat here. The look on his face was him thinking, I just sat here and explained to y'all how much of a dope and a screw-up he is and how I was the one that's responsible and I took care of him. But y'all still, we want Jeff. It just hit. Everything about it hit for me.
That part I got, but... I mean, again, Jeff's a screw-up. Jeff's still been on OxyContin. Jeff's been doing this, and Jeff burned his house down with the crystal meth lab. That we won't forget that as long as people keep alluding offhand alluding to Jeff Cobb. Not to mention another thing. This feud maybe came at the perfect time, but it came at the absolute wrong time. Jeff Hardy has been world champion for fucking how long? Well, was world champion for how long? This is what I was telling you when he won the title and 2 weeks before he won the title. They made a mockery out of his dad. They made a mockery out of his title reign.
Now there's money, and it's, I mean, as much as I wanted it to be Christian and it just be Christian and not have it be mad at all, now that it has and now that he cut that promo, there's money in this feud, and then there's going to be money in when he gets through with Matt in May or June or however long the feud goes. It's going to be like last year was supposed to be. Like, last year he was supposed to win the belt in the summer.
That was this week's free sample PWTorch.com East Coast audio update. For full-length weekly reviews of ECW, Impact, and SmackDown, check out the VIP membership option at PWTorch.com to find out how to sign up for all of our VIP audio updates. About 40 a month from columnists, staff writers, contributors, and experts all around on pro wrestling. So, thanks for listening this week, and we'll check you again next week.